love Woodstock's, you know, tagline of fiercely independent. I think that's great because it does allow me more of a sense of freedom, I think, when I approach storytelling. Like, I'm able to really kind of bring in what I feel strongly about without having too much editorial control over the direction of the film.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for the Woodstock Film Festival's Let's Talk Film podcast. I'm your host, Katie Mejia. Today, we are joined by two special guests, filmmakers Sanavi Spoonhunter and Alex Smith. The Woodstock Film Festival is a haven for networking with high-caliber industry members, voting members of the Academy, filmmakers, musicians, and fiercely independent artists. Sanavi Spoonhunter is a Northern Arapaho and Northern Paiute nonfiction film director, producer, and writer based out of San Francisco. She holds a Master of Journalism degree from the University of California, Berkeley, with a documentary film concentration. Spoonhunter is a 2022 to 2024 Firelight Media Documentary Lab Fellow and a Woodstock Film Festival resident as well. Alex Smith is a filmmaker and educator. He and his twin brother have written and directed three feature films, Walking Out, Winter in the Blood, based on the landmark First Nations novel, and The Slaughter Rule, starring Ryan Gosling, which, like Walking Out, was a Sundance Grand Jury nominee. The brothers have also written for HBO, Disney, Columbia, Amazon, Focus, FX, and Fox Searchlight. Alex is a professor of fiction film at the University of Utah. He has taught at many universities, including UT Austin, where he was the creative director of their film institute. He is a Sundance, Rauschenberg, and Michener fellow. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
It's great to be here.
Thanks for joining. So let's get into the Woodstock Film Festival film residency this year. You guys were a part of this residency that took place at the White Feather Farm in Woodstock. Let's start with Sanavi. Tell me what that experience was like for you.
Yeah, it was a pleasant surprise. There's no application process with this residency. And so it's all basically you get nominated by other folks who have been a part of the network at Woodstock. And so I was fortunate enough to be selected for the Big Sky Pitch Fest last year. And so we went and we pitched my first feature film, Holder of the Sky. And there we met Alana, who's a colleague of Alex's, and she had nominated me for the program. And I received an email from Alex, which again was a wonderful surprise because I wasn't expecting it. And then we had an interview process, and then they did the selection on their end, and they ended up selecting four filmmakers, two nonfiction and two fiction.
Perfect. So Alex, why don't you give us a little update on this year's film residency, which you've been a part of for many years. Is that correct?
Yeah. So this is the third year of the residency. We just finished, in May, June. And yeah, as Sanavi was saying, we invite two documentary filmmakers and two narrative dramatic filmmakers up for a month. They live together in a house, a beautiful house, and they're sort of adjacent to a big organic farm, that White Feather Farm, who are our major sponsor. And the idea is to help them sort of incubate their feature film projects. And they're at various stages of development. And we sort of work with a lot of other nonprofits, a lot of filmmakers and filmmaking community to select the four filmmakers we invite. We're looking for emerging filmmakers. And this year there was one sort of unifying topic or subject that we were looking for with each of the projects, which is that they in some way had a connection to the environment, to sustainability, to nature, to environmental issues, climate crisis issues. And that, for me, was this year, everything really gelled in a way that we'd been building towards. But this year, it was a lovely confluence of energies and ideas. And it feels like we're onto something with these filmmakers and their projects. So that's an overview. I can tell you about each project if you want. But Sanavi's is a wonderful documentary project that she's deeply in. I don't know where you are with it as of late, but
Tell us about it. Tell us, let's just jump right into your project and then maybe, you know, what kind of process was made during the residency itself?
Yeah, it was definitely intimidating being a part of the process in the sense that we were pitching our projects to different folks in the industry and getting feedback and, you know, trying to strengthen how we deliver our project and our ideas, our films. And I think it was fun. It was exciting. But it also allowed me to kind of like zoom out and look at the big picture of my project. Alex was really wonderful. He set up a lot of different meetings, like I said, with other industry folks, but he had also put together a story structure presentation for us during the residency. And I thought that was really helpful because before, when I had initially gone to the residency, I was thinking, oh, I'm going to go straight into post-production. I think I have everything for my characters and what we need. And it just being there and kind of sitting with the materials and gathering all of this like amazing feedback from all of these folks was really formative in terms of how I'm approaching the project now, which we decided to stay into production until the end of the year and hopefully be in post next year. So that's kind of our process. Alex, again, was really helpful with kind of looking at more of like a character-driven story. And that's something that I was like hoping to gain insights into during the residency, because a lot of industry folks were really confused with how my character's storylines connected. And so I think it really gave me a chance to sit back and really sit with that and see how to best approach that for the film.
Savi, I don't want to put you on the spot pitching wise, but do you want to give us a little overview of Holder the Sky?
Yeah, it's been a while. I should have practiced, but yeah, I'll go for it. So Holder the Sky is a story about three tribes in the state of Wisconsin and their historic battle over land resources and rights up into present day. And I think what I find really exciting about the film is that the structure is kind of framed around the creation story of the Oneida people. In the creation story, there are two twins that came into being. One twin would grow to create a world that lived in harmony with all living things, with nature, while the other twin was more destructive and destroyed everything that the first twin had built. And so in the end, one of the twins wins and is granted Oneida's namesake, Holder of the Sky. And that's kind of what we see play out in different pockets of Wisconsin. We specifically look at areas that have border towns with them. So what I mean by that is non-tribal towns next to tribal nations. And so the conflicts that arise because of those, and a lot of it has to do with land stewardship and how we live with the land. And that's something that I'm very passionate about too, being a Native person myself and coming from a situation and growing up in a situation and environment like that. I grew up on a small reservation in Central California where we did have a town that bordered our tribe, and just how we interact, it's different because of our different approaches to the life that we live. I mean, I used to go up into the mountains with my family and do a lot of like harvesting, and we know like a lot of the plants around the area. So it's just a different way and outlook that we look at the earth and our relationship and our responsibility to it. And so that's something that I was really passionate about showcasing in Holder of the Sky, as well as highlighting tribal nations and their distinct practices of stewardship and resources that surround them. So that's
fantastic.
Nailed it.
you absolutely nailed it. And right now, of course, is the most important time. I mean, in terms of us being torn, right? We're going in that technological direction, of course, with the AI. Now we're facing it full. It was always in the science fiction movies, and now it's really in our faces. So we have to really, you know, we have to be more aware, and we need more Indigenous stories, because that is where a lot of the knowledge and just inspiration and passion lies. And so it's beautiful that both of you guys have that in common. And maybe Alex, you can talk a little bit more about some of your films that are also bridging that and, you know, trying to bring people closer to nature. I mean, that's probably one of, I would think, if you're making films about Indigenous people, that might be. And also, that was the filmmaker residency topic this year, correct? And maybe you can go a little bit more into that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I will say about Sanavi's film is it follows a farmer, a forester, and a fisherman from different tribes, and it's completely about their relationship to nature and to sort of harvesting in a sustainable way, so that there's a beautiful ecosystem between them and the nature they live in. My experience is I did write and direct a film based on a novel called Winter in the Blood, which is a landmark novel in the 70s, one of the first novels to be published in the U.S. written about the Native experience from a contemporary sense as opposed to a historical sense. But it deals with historical trauma, and it deals with trying to find your land, your name, your ancestors, trying to find healing and a way forward through connection to the nature that surrounds you and to the your ancestors. It's a beautiful, beautiful novel that we had grown up with. We knew the author very well. He was a mentor of ours. And we felt after 40 years of it being in the world that we wanted it to reach a new audience. So we tackled making that as a film, working with shooting it where the book was actually set up in Northern Montana, working with the various tribal councils on the reservations that we shot on. And we had an 85% Native cast and a lot of consultation, but we were outside in. I'm not Native, I'm not First Nations. And so we had to really rely on our actors, our cast, and our collaborators to help us sort of enter this amazing world of that film. That's Winter in the Blood. It's one of our features. But yeah, as far as the residency goes, we definitely leaned into this environmental sustainability topic this year. Three of the projects, including Snobby's, were really like fastball down the middle of the plate in that regard. And there was one Sanford Jenkins project where we did something different, where we sort of invited him to consider nature as a character, to sort of enhance or to frame his story with nature as a component. And he embraced that sort of, I don't know, like gauntlet, that invitation in a remarkable and surprising and really moving way. And I can't wait to see, where that script goes from that.
Yeah, Sanford was amazing. We asked him to be a part of the podcast, but he's going to have a baby or had a baby. So hopefully we will get him on. His project was really amazing as well. And I think it's interesting how you can bring in nature as a character in that way. And there's so many different ways to weave in nature and sort of, I remember you were talking about the messaging behind it, trying not to obviously preach, because there's always sort of like the tendency to do that. But I think through like Indigenous storytelling, I think it just becomes very natural because you're just, that's what the story is about. It's usually that connection. And if not, there's, a beautiful mythology, which I don't necessarily call a lot of Indigenous mythology. I sometimes call it pretty much what really happened. But other people can disagree with that. But I feel like there's so much to be told. And so I wanted to ask what are your challenges with doing a project like that, Sanavi? And I know you're still in production, pre-production, but in terms of finding other First Nations or Indigenous to work with and to be a part of the project, what is that process like for you?
Yeah, this is an interesting conversation. I wish that we would have had more time because this was kind of brought up at the very end of our residency program. We were kind of talking about, collaboration and like moving the narratives forward and how we best can, I guess, better reflect the communities that we're showcasing in our work. And so I think that it's been difficult. I mean, I know I love Woodstock's tagline of fiercely independent. I think that's great because it does allow me more of a sense of freedom, I think, when I approach storytelling. Like I'm able to really kind of bring in what I feel strongly about without having too much editorial control over the direction of the film. And I think that just noting back to Alex's Winter in the Blood, I mean, it was really inspiring to see how collaborative his process was, like on the back end of things. Like I didn't realize that he had consulted with the tribal nations and, talked to the tribal council and got approval with things and really like had a collaborative effort. And so I really appreciated that. But I think for myself, like in this stage, I mean, like I said, I grew up like social my social economics weren't the best, right? So I don't have that kind of generational support that you would see other filmmakers have in that sense. So I've had to rely on a lot of different fellowships or opportunities that support my living expenses while I'm able to create and able to kind of emerge as an emerging filmmaker into this industry. And so I think that that's been great. But on the other hand of that, I think it's been hard for funders, specifically grantees, to really think, look at the materials, because so many people aren't familiar with tribes. And so they see like three distinct tribal nations, and like they all like, it's hard to pronounce them, right? They're not familiar with how to pronounce the words of the nations. And so I think that that's like a learning curve for them, or it can be seen as kind of like, oh my God, there's way too much information that she's trying to work with in this project, you know, but I can see it very clearly. So it's just about trying to stay true to, like, I guess what I want and what I feel strongly about including and informing to a larger audience, but also make it more palatable for like people when they view it and people who decide to, you know, support us. So,
yeah, Alex, I wanted to ask you about your project as well, but you are a platform to, you know, to amplify that voice. What was it like, and what was the process for working with different folks in order to, you know, get the truth of the matter and in a way that was, you know, honorable and clear?
I'll put it this way. We basically, we worked as hard as we could to be as inclusive and get as much advice and help as we could. And the more we asked for help, that was the big leap for us, was asking for help. It came in all these different ways. And it, you know, we were adapting a novel, but the novel was based on real life and a real situation, and so we were shooting it where the novel was spawned. So we had this weird thing of happening where like fiction was imitating reality, which was imitating the novel. So there was this wheels of time and these families and that helped us throughout. And mostly we just had to stop talking, start listening, you know, and asking for help as a sign of strength. And I mean, the film was challenging from the start to the end because of all the components of it. We couldn't get it funded through the Hollywood means. We had to kind of do it super grassroots, super like handshake by handshake. But in a certain way, it's my favorite film project. It's the one that opened my heart the most. And, you know, I don't know if I would make it now. It was a different time in 2013. I think now I'd rather be helping someone make that. Like someone else does another James Welch novel, I think they should be Indigenous. But we were more like trying to make our mentor's film book into something cinematic. There is a path of collaboration, I think, but it's time for us to kind of shut up for a while and listen, is the best, I think, form of collaboration. Cause you know, we've been dominant voices for a long time. We meaning the sort of the majority. I am from, you know, the Lost Tribe. I'm Jewish, so there's that.
I think we all are somewhere way back in the day, right? Well, that's great. Well, we're going to wrap this up. Sorry, the conversation was so short because it was really meaningful, and I'm looking forward to The Holder of the Sky. And I will, you know, we will be in touch. And as we, for the last question to wrap this up, there is going to be at the film festival a screening of the work. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, Alex?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I'll say just the kismet of it all. The reason I am connected to Woodstock Film Festival is that Woodstock Film Festival programmed Winter in the Blood. It premiered at the Los Angeles Film Festival, and Myra saw it and stalked me for like 3 days until I agreed to bring it to there. but thank God, because I was there with several of my actors, and we had amazing screenings, and I fell in love with Woodstock and ended up moving there for 6 years. So it all had to do with the festival for as far as this residency with that film. And going forward, yes, this year's film festival, we are planning on doing a showcase of the four filmmakers and their works in progress projects, which ideally, if it works out how I hope it will, it'll be a combination of sort of some sizzle reels from Snavi and from Sasha, who are deep into almost post-production on their docs, and also some script reading, some scenes with actors from the two narrative projects. So it'll be, I think, on the 29th, Friday the 29th in the afternoon at White Feather Farm at the barn there. We don't have the hard, I don't have the hard time yet, but it'll be sort of a celebration of their work, hopefully a sort of a fun or a fundraiser, meaning they we hope people come and get inspired, want to support them whatever way they can. But it's mostly just like a sort of a show and tell of these works and project. It's the sort of the first public facing event around their projects that we have. So it's a showcase, celebration of what they've done so far and you know, where they're headed.
Fantastic. So we'll just wrap it up with that. I just wanted to ask one last question, where we can find you guys so we can connect with you. I know Sanavi, you're in Oakland. Can you tell us just maybe where we could find A Holder in the Sky when it does come out, or your social media, or any other way we can connect with you?
Yeah, you can find me on my social media. My handle is my first name, TSANAVI, and that's on pretty much all platforms. And then the holderofthesky film.com, that's where we're kind of trying to keep updates for the project.
Great. And Alex?
Yeah, I mean, I think the best thing is my website, ranchwaterfilms.com. It has websites that needs to be updated a little bit, but it has a lot of info about our various films. I'm also on Instagram as Ranchwater Films. Those are the best two ways to reach me. I'm actually in Utah right now. I'm in Salt Lake City. I'm a professor here. So I'm back in the West. But I missed
that. I wanted to ask you real quick also about UT. What is it that you did in the past at UT? Because I graduated in 2000. In 2000.
Oh, yeah? 2000. Okay. So yeah, we missed each other. I was a grad student there.
Oh, okay.
And then I came back to teach for about 10 years from 2004, 2014. So I'm both a Longhorn and a Golden Bear.
Wow.
Yeah. Cause I was undergrad at Berkeley.
Yeah. They were making Waking Life at that time. And that's how I really got into film, was Richard Linklater. Oh, cool. He's like one of my big time, I'm a big fan. So, okay. Well, that's fantastic. Thank you guys so much. That's it for this episode of the Woodstock Film Festival Let's Talk Film podcast. Don't forget, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Like this, share it. We are now available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and we're going to see you next time. Thank you, guys.
Peace out.